Would you pray with me? May only the truth be spoken, may only the truth be heard. In the name of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin, this is Steve's sermon. He's very graciously sent it to us. So when you hear personal anecdotes, you need to imagine Steve's voice. I'm going to do my best to do it justice. Some years ago, my Aunt Joan was riding a bus in the city of Drumheller. This was something she did frequently, taking her small children, my cousins, from place to place. As she rode with them, she would point things out along the way. Look at the river. Look at those beautiful trees. And one day when she was riding along, she saw a train, and she loudly and very expressively proclaimed, "Oh, look at the choo-choo!" There was one problem. Her children were not with her that particular day. As she recounted it, the rest of the ride was really long. And she was really self-conscious. Context changes everything, doesn't it? In a context where children were present, her comment would have made total sense. In a context without her children, she communicated something rather different than she intended. The words of God, which are found in the scriptures, are always written in a context. Good preachers will make a big deal about that. Don't interpret the scriptures without understanding the context in which they were written. It's good advice. But we must also remember that when they are read and when they are preached, they are also always heard in another real-world context, a specific time and a specific place. And very frequently, this adds to their power. It never ceases to amaze me that sometimes something written 2,000 or 3,000 years ago can legitimately be heard as though it were composed specifically for our situation in the moment in which we find ourselves. How is it that God so consistently manages to meet us in this text? Today we are hearing the words of God in a context. We find ourselves in the midst of yet another wave of COVID-19, this time the Omicron variant. As you probably know, the variants are named after letters in the Greek alphabet. As a former student of the Greek language, I'm sad to report that we are currently less than 2/3 of the way through this alphabet. I earnestly pray that we have no use for most of the rest of the letters. In addition, this morning we hear the words of God in the context of once again being closed for in-person worship. I know that within our parish there are many different reactions to this. Some are experiencing this as serious frustration. Some are experiencing this as genuine relief. Many others are experiencing this with a real mixture of emotions. What I think we have in common is that all of us are weary of COVID and all that it has meant. So what does God have to say to us in the scriptures today? In our present context, the words from Isaiah 43 feel like they were written not thousands of years ago, but yesterday. They are that timely, and they are a balm for our weary souls. I'm going to read excerpts from verses 1, 2, and 4. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." Our task this morning is simple: to listen to these words until we really hear them. The very first words we need to hear are, "Fear not." Having just been through the Christmas season, we have been very recently reminded of how often we humans must be told, "Fear not." In Luke's Gospel alone, the phrase, "Fear not," is repeated to Zacharias, to Mary, and to the shepherds, and in Matthew's Gospel to Joseph. Fear not. Isn't it interesting that the very start of the good news about Jesus is the phrase, "Fear not"? The fear that the gospel seeks to banish is universally human. But banishing fear is easier said than done. Fear is a natural and often involuntary response to anything that we perceive as a threat. So of course we are afraid sometimes. But we don't have to continue in fear. We don't have to live in fear. There are a lot of reasons for fear right now, aren't there? We don't want to spread COVID. We don't want to catch COVID. We don't want to see the life of our church community harmed because of COVID. We don't want to lose our jobs due to COVID. We don't want to see our economy tank due to COVID. We don't want inflation to run rampant due to COVID. We don't want supply shortages and labor shortages due to COVID. We don't want our medical system to be overrun due to COVID. There is no shortage of reasons for fear. These are all very legitimate concerns. But none of them is bigger than the good hand of God. So this morning, all of us, regardless of what it is that we fear, must hear God's voice gently talking us down. Fear not. Why shouldn't we fear? God tells us, "I have called you by name and you are mine." Imagine how this would have been heard by the people of God to whom it was initially written, to those who had been taken captive to the east of Assyria or scattered to the west or the north or the south. The religion of the Old Testament was very geographic. The very presence of God was seen as being in Jerusalem, in the Holy of Holies in the temple. But God says, regardless of how far away you might be, you are still mine, and my claim on you is not based on your current geography. I have not forgotten you, nor will I ever forget you. Your exile will end, and I will gather you again. Powerful words for those of us in a sort of pandemic-induced exile. Can we hear those words today in our current context? And then, in case we haven't yet understood it, God gets really specific. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. Why both waters and rivers? This could simply be a poetic technique called Hebrew parallelism, but I think it might be more than that. In the history of Israel, God brought his children through both the waters and the river. The waters at the Red Sea when escaping Egypt, and the Jordan River when they entered the Promised Land. So this is both a promise and a reminder. God says, "Do you doubt that I can save you? Do you doubt that I can make you flourish? Then you must have forgotten that I already have." Here is a call for us during this pandemic to lean on what we already know of God's track record and to recall all the ways which we have been blessed before. Our gospel reading this morning reminds us that as good Anglicans, we are also invited to hear these words about water in another context unrelated to COVID, the context of the church year. Today is the feast of the baptism of our Lord. And in that context, God shows us that ever since the Red Sea and the River Jordan, God has marked his people by bringing them through the waters. when Jesus was baptized in the same Jordan River that his human ancestors had crossed. God was marking him as his own. And when you were baptized, God marked you as his own. You will recall our own Anglican baptismal rite. The priest uses oil to trace the cross on the forehead and says, I sign you with the cross and mark you as Christ's own forever. This becomes our identity. We are those who have followed Christ through the waters, and so when we pray, we can say, Our Father. We are marked as the people of God in union with Jesus. But we share more than a ritual with Jesus. We share the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit who descended on Jesus like a dove at his baptism. This is the same Spirit that John the Baptist promises will come upon everyone who is baptized in the name of Jesus. So we have good reason to try to put aside our fear. After all, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We have come through the waters. The text continues. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Notice that there is no promise here that we will not have to walk through the fire. In fact, it is seen as inevitable. When you walk through the fire. But throughout the scripture, fire is seen as a purifying agent, something that burns away the impurities and leaves the purest gold. And those of us who have suffered hard times can attest to the ways in which those hard times teach us and form us. But we can't be purified by that which destroys us. And so here is God's promise. I will be with you. I will not let the fire destroy you. Here again is God's word speaking across the centuries into our own context at the beginning of 2022. And there is a final sentence that we need to hear today. You are precious in my eyes. Honored, and I love you. According to the late Old Testament scholar Terry Fratheim, this is the only place in the entire Bible when we hear the words, I love you, coming in the first person from God's own lips. The Bible is full of the love of God. You can't miss it. God so loved the world. God is love. God's loving kindness is everlasting. But nowhere else is it said this explicitly, I love you. Any of us who are married know that actions sometimes speak louder than words. We can say I love you in all kinds of ways, by shoveling snow or cooking a meal or caring for sick kids, or in my case, bringing home a grande Earl Grey tea latte with sugar-free vanilla and lactose-free milk. We also know that sometimes the actual words need to be said out loud so that they can be heard. So here is God unashamedly declaring this to his children. He leaves no room for guesswork, no margin for misinterpretation. Here is God's declaration to us, his weary people, in the middle of a pandemic, when it's easy to feel forgotten or neglected. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. And so on this January 9th, 2022, in Lethbridge, Alberta, may God help us to really hear these words. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Thanks be to God. Amen.